This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Riggebein. Joining me as usual in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
Good. I noticed on our intro, it says the boys are back. It's not just the boys this morning. We've got a pleasure, it's a privilege, an honor to have in our studio with us a legend in Canadian sports broadcasting, a pioneer of women's sports broadcasting. Who else but the one and only Teresa Cruz. Teresa, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Well, my pleasure. My goodness, I'm sitting across from you here blushing. What an intro. Holy cow.
And you deserve all of that and more, and we're going to spend some time this morning. It couldn't be a better Sunday, a better week to talk with you, because you've been so important to advancing women in sports broadcasting in Canada. And it's International Women's Day on March the 8th.
It is.
All kinds of celebrations for women and their accomplishments during the month of March. And I can't think of anybody better to have with us. And even better, you're with us in person. So thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. This is going to be a lot of fun today.
It's going to be a lot of fun. But as usual on a Sunday morning, we start close to home. We start with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and we have with us, as often on Sunday mornings, former Washington Capital, former Toronto Maple Leaf, leaping Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you this morning?
I'm doing really well, thank you, Wally. Great day to be alive, and the weather is just around the corner for a nice round of golf.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's starting to warm up, so we're certainly looking forward to that. We normally start off with Leafs talk. Naz, we normally catch up on what's happened during the week from a Leaf perspective. The winning streak came to an end Tuesday night, Naz, during the week against Vegas. Didn't get the result we wanted, but the Leafs sort of turned it around a little bit. Got it, you know, we took care of Arizona. Leafs have struggled with Arizona. First time they beat them at home since 2002. A statistic I find remarkable. And what a game last night, Naz, against
fantastic.
The Rangers. Rangers
fantastic.
Are one of the favorites for the Stanley Cup. That was fantastic hockey last night, Naz.
Great hockey. And they don't like fighting anymore, eh?
Well, we certainly got some fighting last night.
Oh, wow. See the crowd react to it?
Teresa, are you a Leafs fan? I know you grew up in Calgary. I got to ask you. In all this introduction, all these discussions we've had, I never even asked you if you're a Leafs fan.
You know, I came to Toronto in 1990. TSN moved me from Calgary, and big, huge Calgary fan, because when the Flames moved up from Atlanta, I was hooked. And so it's been a little tough. The Leafs, my goodness, I really wish that they would win the Stanley Cup and just get it over with so that we can go on with our love affair with this team. But I'm of the Leaf hopeful. I must say that even though I got that soft spot in my heart for Calgary, I'm still loving the Leafs.
Well, it's good to have you as part of Leafs Nation. Lou, let's break down the Leafs week. You know, I mean, it's an 82-game schedule. They can't win every game. Let's be realistic. Against Vegas, defending Stanley Cup champion, there's a closer game than the final score would indicate. Didn't get the result, but that's fine. Finally beat an Arizona team that we haven't beat at home in a long, long time. And what a game last night against the Rangers. Playoff-style hockey, Lou. I mean, they were going at it. A lot of high-end talent on both sides. Your reaction to last night's game, Lou?
It really was a great game to watch. Obviously, the expectations of the two was probably more in hand with what the game was all about. They wanted to see what Reeves and Hempy were going to do. Much didn't happen in the first two periods, but I guess it livened up in the third period, and it was great to see that the Leafs really stuck around the whole game, and Samsonov made a great save in the overtime to get the 2 points.
Certainly, Naz, you know, we had Rangers tied it up with just over a minute to go in the game, and, you know the reaction is, oh, no, here we go again. But, you know, they did, you know, Samsonov last night went toe-to-toe with who's considered one of the best goalies in the league, which is Shesterkin, and he held his own. He made some remarkable stops.
Both goalies played well.
They played well, but, you know, we've always said if the Leafs are going to be successful, you know, that we can't, you know, our goalies can't give a, they have to steal, the goalies got to steal a game every now and then. I won't say Samsonov stole the game last night, but, you know, some of those saves he made were like, you know, that glove save on, you know, that one where it was point blank off Fox, and the one in overtime where he kicked out the pad. I mean, if that's the kind of performance we're going to continue to get from Samsonov and the Leafs go at it like they did last night, you know what? You know, my reserve spot on Bay Street for the parade, it's, you know, I checked on StubHub this morning. It had held its value this week, Naz.
Yeah. You know what? I have to say something about Reeves. I had him buried in the minors at the beginning of the year. I didn't think he could play. But you know what? He's a useful piece in this puzzle that the Leafs have. And I think he's going to be effective in the playoffs.
Teresa, your reaction to, I want to get your thoughts on the Toronto Maple Leafs, last night's game specifically, and overall, what's your sense of this team?
Sense of the team, we got to solve our goaltending issue. And I want to take a look at what you guys were just talking about, Samsonov. I mean, he started off really careful. And then, man, it was like, well, I'm going to beat you when I'm down. I'm going to beat you when I'm standing up. I'm going to beat you when I'm outside the crease. I'm going to beat you when I'm inside the crease. No, look at that. I just dropped my stick, but I'm still going to beat you. And then the glove save, like you said. Samsonov was absolutely phenomenal last night. Absolutely. So we got to figure this out. I mean, a three goaltender system
not going to work.
Not good.
Well, it's two goalers. It's a two goaler system
now.
It's Wohl and it's Samsonov.
Exactly. So we've got to figure this out. And I mean, we got the trade deadline coming up. So everybody's going, well, what are they going to do? Who's available? You know, everyone's going, we need a good starting goaltender. But I would say last night, Samsonov was auditioning.
Yeah, he was something else. Lou, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the game that Mitch Marner had last night. Man, that's the Mitch Marner that's worth $11.5 million a year, or however much they're paying him. I think it's in that range. He was the best player on the ice last night, Lou.
Sorry to rain on your parade.
Oh, here, come on, Lou. Come on. Okay, go ahead.
Mitch Marner can play like that every single game if nobody lays a hand on him.
Well, you know, that's the point.
And
okay.
When you start getting teams that are going to start leaning on him, that's when I want to really see the Mitch Marner carry this team to the promised land.
Well, I didn't get to finish my point, Lou, but I'll let you finish your point. I apologize. Go ahead.
Oh, I listen, Mitch Marner had a great game last night.
Yeah.
But playoff hockey is going to be a little bit different when they start leaning on him. And it's great and fine, and, you know, we've talked about this from the beginning. We've talked about this for the years, okay? I'm really to the point where, guys, let's get to the playoffs and see what you guys are really about.
Teresa, I'm going to ask, because we take shots with Lou every Sunday morning, most mornings, so I got to let you respond to Lou there.
I think Lou's got one heck of a good point. And I mean, we take a look right now at what Sheldon Keefe is doing. He's sending messages. I want to talk about what the message that he sent to William Nylander last night in the first period, right? So okay, let's take a look at this. So Max Domi, he fails to clear the puck. So Nylander fails to get his job done against the Rangers' Adam Fox. And that gives Lafreniere all the time in the world to set up and get that puck past Samsonov. So then Nylander sits for, what was it, about 8 minutes?
He sat the rest of the period.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bad. So then,
then he scores.
So point taken here. So, like, then we hear afterwards Sheldon Keefe saying, you know, I said to them, we expect you to score goals. However, when it's time to defend, it's time to defend. So I think this goes back to what Lou is saying. He wants to see what this team is going to be like come playoff time. If we saw a glimpse last night of what the Leafs are capable of, then this is good going down the stretch.
Absolutely.
But Lou brings up some
I don't disagree with Lou. I mean, we butt heads all the time, and every now and then he'll remind me I never played in the NHL, and his opinion's worth more than mine. But Lou and I have the highest respect. But Lou, I don't disagree with your point, and a lot of it's going to come down to matchups in the playoffs. Florida's not a good matchup for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think the Rangers are. When Marner gets to play a game where it's skill on skill, then you see his skill, and that's the type of team the Rangers are, right? In a Florida series, maybe you're not going to see Marner as prominent that. So, Lou, I agree with you 50%. I disagree with you on 50% as well. But certainly, if somehow we can get that, kind of performance from Marner, game in and game out, even against the tough teams in the league, man, that bodes well. But overall, the other part about what I found exciting and bodes well for the Leafs, Naz, is, the third and fourth liners, they were bringing it last night. Holmberg was going, I mean, they were creating pressure, and they were skating, and there was a sense of urgency in their game that you don't normally see. It's like they came out and they said, the Rangers are one of the favorites. We may meet them in the playoffs, and this game means something. It may not mean much in the standings, but we got to send a message. And the Leafs, from the opening whistles, and Domi played well, and Bertuzzi seems to have turned his game around. There's a lot to be positive about, isn't there, Ness?
Yeah, there is. Domi's the king of shootout, eh? His shot is so good, and he won the game for them last night.
What do you see?
But the Leafs are going to be playing Boston, Wally.
In the playoffs?
Yeah,
it seems
Boston.
Like it's headed
they won't
that.
Get the Rangers.
Yeah.
Until later on.
Yeah. Lou, what's your sense of where you see the Leafs fitting right now? It seems like they've managed to continue this streak of good play. Goaltending seems to be in a better place than it's been. Wohl came in and played a good game. Where would you put the Leafs team right now? And if you're tree living, what are you doing March the 8th?
Well, I'm still looking for a big defenseman and maybe another forward up front. I think their weakness right now is Samsonov and Wohl play as well as they have lately. I think their weakness is going to be back on the back end. I'm not sure if they're mobile enough. I'm not sure if they're going to be tough enough in front of the net. You know the way Boston plays. You know the way the Florida Panthers play. They got those big bodies in front of the net, and they cause a lot of havoc. And they still have to get a little bit more physical. They got to start leaning on the defense of the other teams to more or less keep their heads up. And obviously, you know, you're going to run by the big three, right? Nylander gets punished last night. I'm curious to see if Marner does the same thing, if he gets punished, and if Matthews does the same thing, if he gets punished, because I know you try to pick on certain guys that will fuel the fire. Will it do it with Marner? It happened during the season, I think, with Tavares. He sent him down on the third line, and it worked last night with Nylander. So, you know, these are little things, but when playoffs come around the corner, it's going to be those are big things.
Yeah, I don't think they sent Tavares down to the third line to punish him, and I don't think that's the point you're making. I just thought Sheldon Keefe thought that created better balance, and that particular move, he's looking like he's smelling roses right now. That's literally when the team seems to have gelled a little bit better. So certainly we'll see that. And the part about whether, you know, I thought about it last night when Nylander made that play and Keefe sat him out. I go, if that's any other player on the team, do you sit him out? And it reminded me, there was a game earlier, I can't remember, it was about a month and a half ago, where he took away some ice time from Matthews and Marner in the third period when he wasn't happy with their play. So I'm not, you know, I don't think Sheldon Keefe plays favorites. If you do something he's not happy with, and I don't think he cares who it is, you're gonna see some slivers sitting at the end of the bench. bench. Really quickly before we go to break, Lou, I want you to comment. We've got Lyubushkin back, Bush as they call him, or Bush as they call him. I didn't think it was a bad pickup. He's been here before. He provides a little bit of grit. If you put him in the right situation, he can be a productive D for you. But he got taken out last night by this new enforcer what's his name? Matt Rempe. He's like 6'20", 700 pounds. Did you think that was a fair hit when he took out Lyubushkin? I thought that was worth at least a 2-minute charging penalty, perhaps more. From the perspective of a former NHLer, Lou, your thoughts?
That was a borderline call because I've looked at that about 5 times this morning. And if you look at Hempe stopped skating. He takes 3 strides, and then he glides into it. What I didn't like, he jumped off his skates.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that really bothered me. And if Lyubushkin would have gone down right away, I think he might have drawn a 2, maybe even a 5 for charging. But again, if you look at it, he did coast into him, but he did jump. So that's where...
That's a charge. You can't leave your feet. You can't leave your feet.
No, you can't leave your feet, especially as tall as he is.
Yeah.
Refereeing is very, very inconsistent in this league. If they call that in the playoffs, it could be crucial. If they don't, then, players are going to get hurt.
Yeah. Lou, we're going to wrap up the Leafs talk. We're going to let you go. We've got somebody special with us here today.
Oh, and Lou's not special? Come on.
Hi, Teresa.
You've already filled his head with too much time. I'm going to have to listen to Lou all week long now, Teresa.
I used to interview Lou all the time. This has been so cool to be able to share the microphone again with you, Lou.
You know what, Teresa? It's always been an honor and a pleasure to talk to you, sweetheart.
Lou, you know what? Our listeners think that Lou and I are tough on each other. We're good friends, and we love to joke around. Lou,
hey, that's what makes a good marriage, Wally.
On that note, I'm letting you go, Lou. You're absolutely right. Thanks for the wisdom, and we should be a fun discussion next Sunday morning. We got a couple of games against the Bruins, so we'll get another test. The Leafs are going to get another big test this week, and it's going to be a playoff ready test. So we're going to have lots to talk about next Sunday morning. So Lou, we're going to let you go. Teresa, we're going to take it to break, and then we're going to turn the focus on you.
Uh-oh.
You've had and you continue to have. This isn't a past tense discussion. It's a past, it's a present, and it's a future. And you've done some pretty remarkable stuff in your life, and we want to certainly share that with our listeners, and we're thrilled that you're with us in studio. So we're going to go to break, and then we're going to talk about you, Teresa Cruz. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when my wife accused me of having an affair. How could I tell her that I was hopelessly in love with extra thin crust pizza from Pizzaville? I didn't ask for this to happen. It was so thin, so delicate, so delicious. I can't bear to share it with my wife. She wants me to see a counsellor, but I don't want to share it with him either. Call Pizzaville for an extra thin crust pizza at 736-3636.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Inc. turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Inc.'s new experience will be the place for collectors to meet their heroes. Get ready for the Mint Inc. trading cards and live experience coming to Vaughan in spring of 2024. Watch for updates at mintink.ca and check out their Toronto store on Devonport.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, live streaming on the internet at zoomerradio.ca. We're thrilled to have in studio with us this morning. I call her a pioneer in Canadian women's sports broadcasting, Teresa Cruz. Welcome again, Teresa.
Good morning, Wally and Naz. It's great to be here.
Yeah, we got the idea for this show at a Christmas party we both attended, and of course we listened to that ad during. We're both good friends with Angela and Nella over at Pizzaville, and I had the privilege of spending an evening with you, having dinner at a Christmas party and listening to all your old sports stories. And after that, I said, we absolutely have to get you on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. And it could be more fitting. March 8th is International Women's Day. And you've done so much, probably more than anybody for women in sports broadcasting in Canada in an era where was the exclusive preserve, for lack of a better term. Hate to use it, and I'm not saying it to be political, but you did it in an era where it was just a bunch of old white guys, basically. I know you may not want to use that term, but I can use it because that's what I am. But we got we had the opportunity to talk about your experience. You've obviously you're a professional. It was your career. It was your life. For a long, long time at TSN and in some other places that we will talk about. It wasn't just sports, it was news, and it was all kinds of different things. You were involved in broadcasting. But we sort of got similar starts. Naz and I always have fun talking about our days way back on cable back in the mid-1970s, where we used to do sports hotline, sports talk-in, sports call-in on cable, which became Rogers Cable. And you got your start with on a Channel 10 in Calgary on Rogers Cable. Tell us all about how you even started with this.
You know, since you and I have spoke, I've had this great walk down memory lane. and I just want to say to the folks that are listening this morning, I've unpacked a bunch of stories from the past, the good old days. So we've been talking a lot about sports. And what I saw, what I had the privilege to see. But you know what? My broadcast career almost did not happen before it even got out of the gate. I'm brand new out of school in Calgary, went to SAIT, and I wasn't even out of school days, and I get a phone call from Rogers Cable TV, and they said, it's the Calgary Stampede coming up. Do you want to be co-host of a noon hour show that we're going to be doing every day? Absolutely. So I'm all excited. First job, going to be going on the demo tape, and I'm down there, and you know, we had gone for about the first week and everything was fine. So I think we must have got cocky because we decided to pre-record the intro. Now, back in the 80s, this was a big feat. The stuff was bigger, larger, chunkier. There was no Wi-Fi, so we had cables everywhere. So we decided to go on the Sky Ride, much like the CNE, right? So Calgary's got the Sky Ride. So it goes from one end of the park to the other. So we load up the cameraman before we're to go to air. So this is about 11:15 or so. Load up the cameraman in the first car, string the audio cables to me and my co-host. So the name of the show was High Noon. So we start off and we're going up and the cameraman waves and he goes, all right, guys, we're rolling. And I go, okay, in 3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody, welcome to High Noon. My name is Teresa. This is John. And we're talking and pass it over to John. And John starts talking and he screws up. So I said, okay, no problem. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1. Hi, everybody. Welcome to High Noon. It's Teresa along with John, and I screwed up. Okay, so now the cameraman started to get concerned, and we're getting concerned because we're midway through the ride. So we know this is the it take, or else it's not happening. So we get going, and so everything's just rolling. The intro's going great. We're talking about what's going on down at the Stampede. We've got lots of stuff going on at the grandstand, and we're talking about who's getting in for free this day. And just then, They must have been cooking a very large cow. Not even a half a cow, a large cow, because we just went over top of where they were barbecuing this and they had lifted the lid and this thick, black, acrid smoke, it's just like choking us. And it comes up and so today down at the grandstand and, and I said one of the worst words that you can possibly say okay. on air. Oh, blank. All right, everybody, it's 3, 2, 1. Hi, everybody, it's Teresa and John. And I'm just kidding, blah, 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 blah. And the ride's starting to come down. There is a very nervous intern on the other end ready to grab that videotape and sprint. So we get ourselves untangled. They've got the tape. They're taking it back to the mobile broadcast area. So they've got to rewind the tape and put it on the air. So they're yelling, last take, last take. So we untangle ourselves. We sprint to the broadcast area and we walk in. And everyone's faces are ashen. And pretty well you could guess what happened. They had rolled the tape back too far. Click, here it is. And they saw me say the worst word in air. So, on air. So, I think about that to this day. Like, I grew up in the oil field, right? Dad was in the oil field. From the age of 3, I was out there with the guys. I mean, swearing was part of the language, the vernacular, right? I get into television, and it's used every single word. But boy, that taught me a valuable lesson. I got called into the general manager's office that afternoon. He said, you know, Teresa, if I was employing you and paying you, I'd have to fire you right now. But he says, seeing as you're a volunteer, I'm going to hopefully pray for our broadcast license to remain the same. And we're going to send you back out there again. But let this be a lesson to you. And so every time that a microphone, a camera, anything over my whole entire couple of decades of work, never once again did a bad word come out of my mouth.
Yeah. Teresa, who hired you?
Who?
To TSN. Who hired you?
Oh, at TSN. I was working for Special Olympics. And, I was actually working for the Calgary Opera. I was in between jobs at the time doing marketing. And I was volunteering back down at Rogers Cable again. And they were doing Special Olympics across Canada for 4 days. And it was for people with intellectual disabilities. They said, we can't pay you anything. I said, I don't care. I don't need money if it's for Special Olympics. And that was in 86. And my co-host at the time was Arnie Jackson, who was the TSN reporter for Calgary. He says, you know, we got the Calgary Olympics coming up in 1988. He said, it's too much work for me. Would you be interested? And I said, would I be interested? I had always been into sports. Didn't think that it was an option for me. Even even the guys that were teaching us at school, they were even telling the guys, sports is a non-entity. Go into news. They're cutting down on their sports coverage. Then TSN starts up in September of 84. And everyone's going, oh, who's going to watch sports 24/7? Really? Like, we'll give this one a cup of coffee. So all of a sudden, it caught. Fire.
Wow.
And so he said, would you be interested? So I was allowed to do my first story. Do you know what my first story was on TSN?
Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead.
The Mexican bobsled team. They were in, and this is the same Olympics that had the Jamaican bobsledders, right? Team. So the Mexican bobsled team, they were there training, trying not to kill themselves on this track. And I did a story. And that was my first story. Got to do more and more and more. And then the call came, can you go into the Calgary Flames dressing room?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And that was...
make it or break it time. Yeah. Right? So I said, all right, tell me what I got to do. And I said, well, you're going to watch the game. You're going to come up with a story. You're going to go in and do some interviews. And then you're going to send the story to us by Air Canada overnight. Because that's the way that we used to send our stories.
You had one in particular interview with Marc Messier. How did that go?
Yeah, I had only... I had proved myself. I went in there. You know, I always said, don't ask me to tell you what was on the walls of all those dressing rooms. But... I'll tell you any color of carpeting. I could tell you all the carpeting. I never looked up. So I managed to get that first story done, and then I got my contract. So that was a real tough time because, Wally, like you were saying in the intro, that was a tough time for women. You painted such a big picture of, you know, what it was like back then. And there were very few women that were doing it at the time. We were known as tokens. But you know what? I wanted the job. I love sports. I'll take it. Thank you very much. I'm in there. And I'm going to work 4 times harder than anybody else just just to make sure that I belong. And these are in the days before internet. So we had no newspapers. We had no internet. Yeah. So I'm reading all the newspapers and all the magazines I could get my hands on. And, of course, the old ticker tape. But, Mark Messier was very, very helpful.
What were the barriers, Teresa? You were, like, who are your mentors? Who are your heroes? What was some of the discrimination you faced? I'm sure there were a lot of athletes when you walked into dressing room, male athletes, in those days. It's almost 40 years ago. I don't want to date us, but but it was a long time ago. It was a different world.
Mm-hmm.
Just curious as to obstacles you overcame.
It was. You know, I think I got the reputation very early in my career that I would get into the locker room, get the job done, and get the heck out. Not saying that anybody hung around, but newspaper reporters had to. They had to get those stories behind the scenes that maybe other people didn't see or pick up on. So I would just go in, get my clips, and get out. So there was a little bit of healthy respect there where a lot of the players came up to me afterwards and they said, you know, we knew that you weren't in there just because you could and that you wanted to look around. You were there to get the job done. So, you know, going back to Mark Messier, some of the biggest hurdles that I overcame were actually my peers. So that was the other, specifically newspaper writers. There were two big dogs in the sandbox, and they wrote for the big newspapers, and they were known as it in the broadcasting or in the newspaper world. And they would turn their backs on me. I'd go into any game, and I'd be in the media box, and hi, how are you? And they would turn their backs on me and walk away. And I tried for months and months and months. The other reporters just sort of put up with me. They weren't quite sure why I was there. Some of them were angry that I was there. Mark Messier. So TSN sends me in. The Edmonton Oilers are in town. One of the toughest guys to lace up the skates, right? He was known as Moose. This guy, when he breathed fire. I mean, he was tough dude. So anyway, they said, we want you to do a story. And Mark always stayed away from the media. He would hide out in the trainer's room. But that night, we were going to wait for him. So I'm in the stick room waiting. My cameraman's in the locker room. Everybody's left. The team bus is left. Their PR person is still there. Mark's still not coming out. So he, all of a sudden, we hear, Mark's coming. So Brad's fumbling with the camera. And, you know, you always had to balance true white, true black to find the color spectrum. So he's trying to get the color balance going. And Mark arrives. And, of course, I'm only ever looking at the floor. So I see these... Honest to God, his feet were angry. These two angry feet. You could tell they were angry. So these feet arrive, and I quickly glance up. I said, hey, Mark, we'll be right with you. We're just trying to... Let's get this done. Okay, so now I'm sweating.
Wow.
So he says... Brad, my cameraman, finally says, okay, dude, we're ready to go. So I quickly glance up to Mark's face, and he's not happy. He's not impressed. And on my way up... I had seen something, and I don't know whether it was the absurdity of this situation or what I saw, but I started to laugh. And Mark's looking at me like he wants to kill me. The PR guy is just about having a heart attack in the corner, and my cameraman doesn't know what to do. So all of a sudden, he says, what's funny? And I said, I'm sorry, Mark. I am so sorry, but... Mark was wearing Frosty the Snowman boxer shorts, and they had very large orange carrots everywhere. They were, and I said, Mark, I'm so sorry, but those shorts, holy cow. And then he bursts out laughing. He goes, hey, pretty good, aren't they? And that set the tone. Did the interview. The next day, next time he was through town, they'd come out for their skate, and all the media is sitting in fairly close with one another, and all those guys that wouldn't talk to me, they're all sitting in the stands, and they're all coming out, and they're doing those slow stretches and all that sort of stuff, and Messier comes out. He's stretching one leg, stretching the other, and he looks up in the stands, and he goes, hey, Teresa, how you doing? There was a gasp from all those people, the men that would not speak to me before.
Wow.
And there was a gasp, like, holy cow, Mark Messier said hi. And, you know, it happened again later on in his life when he was with the New York Rangers. And the New York media were being so tough. And we were there. We were waiting for him. And I'm well into my career now. I'm established. But New York media is tough. And, you know, they muscled us out. As soon as Mark came out, they muscled us right to the very back. And I'm trying to get my mic in. And all of a sudden, Mark starts answering the first question. He looks up and he stops and he goes, Teresa, what are you doing back there? And I said, well, it's okay. And he goes, he puts his arm out, and like the Red Sea was parting, all the New York media back away, and he gets his finger and he crooks it, and he says, Teresa, come here. And he brought me right up to the front of the room.
That's
it was
awesome.
Kindness like that from a lot of players from many different leagues that helped me get my job done and make and establish myself as a sports reporter.
We're here with Teresa Cruz, a pioneer in women's sports broadcasting in Canada. We're going to take it to break, and we'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we realised that our extra-large pizza is 2 whole inches longer than the so-called extra-large from the big pizza conglomerates. How do they even call theirs extra-large when Pizzaville gives you 18 whopping inches, steaming hot? Because, let's be honest, who wouldn't want 2 more inches?
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Inc. turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Inc.'s new experience will be the place for collectors to meet their heroes. Get ready for the Mint Inc. trading cards and live experience coming to Vaughan in spring of 2024. Watch for updates at mintink.ca and check out the Toronto store on Davenport.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise. Understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
From face-offs to playoffs, field goals to own goals, you're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, and live streaming audio and video at www.zoomerradio.ca. We're thrilled to have with us this morning Teresa Cruz. Teresa, we've got so much to talk to you about. We've got to make sure that we don't miss the time for what happened in your post-sports broadcasting career. So maybe we'll take another little question about the sports broadcasting part. You came to Toronto in 1990. You've done everything. The Battle of Alberta, the Calgary Winter Olympics, the Stanley Cup for the Flames, the Jays World Series, Stanley Cup runs by their teams, IndyCar Racing, CFL, NFL, everything. Almost nothing. Although Naz seems to think you may not have done 10-pin bowling, but...
Played it. But I did call a play-by-play for lawn bowling, though.
Yeah,
lawn bowling. I don't know what that's
called. Or as we call it in Little Italy here, boce.
Yeah, boce.
Anyways, you know, we could spend hours talking about all of that, and I really do want to get on to some remarkable stuff you've done after TSN. Your favorite athletes and your favorite interviews over the years?
Well, I think I just named one,
Messier.
Mark Messier. Holy cow. He was great to me. Mario Lemieux was such a gentleman. I just remember so vividly his retirement tour. Do you remember when he was going through the NHL? And we'd do big deals every last city he played in. And I remember it was his last time playing in Pittsburgh, and I was there covering it. And for some reason, we got held up, and we could not get into the scrum no matter how hard we tried. And I missed the interview. And I just knew, like, TSN had sent me a long way, and I've got to come up with something. So I just made a mad dash towards the door as he's turned around. And I said, Mario, I said, I'm so sorry we couldn't get that. Do you know he turned around and I got a one-on-one with him. He was phenomenal. Jack Nicklaus, the first time I met Jack Nicklaus, the tennis legends of Martina Navratilova. I look back on my career and I think of some of the most amazing players I've had a chance, and athletes that I've had a chance to interview. I love doing university sports, love doing amateur sports. Those were some of the best times. But I mean, we all had, you know, our great times of here in Toronto. I mean, what a great sports city. And especially back in the 90s, who can forget about our two World Series? I was there the night that Joe Carter hit his game-winning home run. And Joe and I had some great interviews after where him and I were reminiscing. And, you know, to be a part of that. Were you there, Wally?
I wasn't there, but I was certainly watching it on TV.
Yeah, I know. I was there.
Wish I was there.
I got a ticket to that game. One of the rare games I was not working. And I was up in the nosebleeds, but we watched that. As soon as that ball left the bat,
wow,
we knew it was gone. Yeah. So, you know, getting ready to talk to you guys, there's been a lot popping up in my brain. I know I'm going to get off the air and kick myself for not mentioning some, but, you know, Wayne Gretzky and I... Oh, man. It's going to take another four shows to get through Wayne Gretzky stories, but oh, my goodness. Him and I, that was something. I might have to write a book or something.
I think that would be a great idea. You've already – that's you made the perfect segue into our next segment, which is writing a book. Well, I guess was it 1999 or 2000 or whatever you moved on from TSN?
I did.
And then you – I've listened to some of your interviews, and there's two words that you used in an interview I saw online. Epiphany. You had an epiphany when you were and people need to reinvent themselves at times. And you wrote a book, The Incredibility Factor. So there's been a lot that's happened since you moved on from sports broadcasting. You got into news. You got into other things other than sports in the broadcasting field. So bring us up to date. You've got a company Impact now. You're doing media strategies. Bring our listeners up to date, the Teresa Cruz of 2024. And perhaps some of the things that have happened in between.
That's a huge whack of life there.
Well, take a little couple of bites.
A couple of bites from it. Yeah. You know, my big thing is, since I've been a kid, you don't want to sit in that rocking chair of life and say, I wish I would have. And I had 14 years with TSN. Great run. And a lot of people thought I was crazy, but there was so much more that I wanted to do. So I went over to 680 News. I got into news, like you said, started working at various stations, ended up over at CP24, wrote a national newspaper column for Metro News, and that's what spun the book. Because I was writing about rags to riches stories with people in careers. I love telling stories. So I wrote this book. It became a bestseller, so that was really cool. And Ernst & Young was really into it because I had a lot of the Entrepreneur of the Year Award winners in it. Plus, I got an interview, which was a real coup for me. Jim Pattison, you know Pattison Advertising and his car dealerships and all the rest. He's the third richest person in Canada the last time I looked. And he rarely gives interviews. And he was very old when I talked to him and he's still with us. God bless him. And I wanted to find out, what does the average person not know that these people that have done very well in life and in business, what is the magic sauce? So I talked to Jim. There was at least 25 other entrepreneurs that I talked. Everybody from starting a business in their parents' basement all the way up to Jim Pattison. And really, it wasn't rocket science. It was a lot of the things in business that we know about. You know, it was about time management and systems. And so anyway, that's what I wrote the book about, and that was really cool. I've gotten into media strategy and communications now. I'm taking all of my broadcast knowledge, and everything from being the best you can be on air and delivering all the way up to, with a story in the corporate world, how is it going to land? I can tell them pretty well because I've sat with some of the best assignment editors and producers in the business, because at this point in my career, I won't go through the laundry list, but I have worked in a number of different stations. So that's where I am right now. And my husband, Gary, and I are doing some traveling now. And it's a very good life. It really is. But holy cow, I'm not done yet.
The Women's Pro Hockey League. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? It's about time. Fabulous league. It's on a lot in our house. I will admit it's on a lot. My husband's a huge fan. The caliber of hockey, I started reporting on women's hockey when they were wearing those awful pink jerseys. Do you remember the pink jerseys?
Well, now they Inter Miami and soccer has them. That's right. I watched Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez yesterday, and they're wearing pink jerseys.
Well, it's a statement, isn't it? Yeah, but back then it got people's attention. But, you know, to see the evolution of women's hockey, I did a lot of interviews. A lot of those amazing women that are on the air right now commentating, they were amazing hockey players to deal with. And it was an absolute honor and privilege to talk to them at the time with the, you know, the 88 Olympic. Well, no, they weren't there. So I did the 94 Olympics in Lillehammer and 98 in Nagano. So I've seen the evolution of women's hockey, and now to see it as a league and being respected and being out there, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
Are you surprised at the gate that these games have? They're sellouts all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it was very well done, I think.
It really is. And it's so great that all these young girls that are lacing up the skates and going out to play hockey, and they've got these great things that they can shoot for in life. You know, before you could only get so far, but now you've got a professional league, and it's about time, and it's a marvelous thing.
Yeah, it certainly is. Teresa, you've been honored with the Canadian Member of Parliament's Medal for Volunteer Service, the Peter Armstrong Award of Excellence, and the Voice of Courage Award, and you've done some remarkable work with an organization called Abuse Hurts. Some remarkable work you're doing. Tell us about that work.
Well, my husband Gary and I are very proud of the work that we've done at Abuse Hurts. Of course, Martin Cruz, who exposed the horrible sex abuse scandal down at Maple Leaf Gardens back in the late 90s, is my brother-in-law and was my husband's cherished brother. And when we lost Martin, we thought about how we as a family could keep his vision alive. And so we linked up with what was the Canadian Centre for Abuse Awareness at the time, and now they're called Abuse Hurts. And there's been some wonderful things that have happened in the last 25 years. We would give anything to have Martin back on this earth, but it's been good that these voices have been heard and that this very hard subject is out there and giving parents the strength to talk to their young children about how best to protect themselves. We're nowhere near where we needed to be. I had a short foray into federal politics. I tried running in 2019. I was running as a conservative, and of course, it wasn't a good election for conservatives, but my platform was in the area of family protection. And I don't believe that our families are as protected, especially now with the internet. I don't believe our most precious resource, that's not oil and gas. Our most precious resource are our children. And I do believe that we haven't done enough to advocate for them. Ellen Campbell, who is the founder and president of Abuse Hurts, and our director of public safety, John Muse, they put together when Stephen Harper was in power, they put together Martin's Hope, and it was for legislative change so that it would give the judges and the lawyers the teeth that they needed to be able to give tough sentencing to people that have perpetrated sexual crimes against children. And I mean, Martin was still alive when he took his perpetrator, Gordon Stuckless, to court. And there was 8 or 10 very brave and courageous men from Maple Leaf Gardens that stood up and faced him down in court. And do you know that he got 2 years less a day? And it wasn't more than 2 years, 2 days after that, that Martin took his life by jumping off the Bloor Viaduct Bridge. And that ripped the heart and soul out of our family. The damage that was done, it's not
It's oh my gosh, what it does to the person that first of all has been abused, but also to their families and their extended families. It's awful. And it's hard to put into words sometimes. We need to go further. We need tougher sentencing for people that perpetrate these crimes. We need more awareness, and our work is not done. And I'm so proud of the work that Ellen Campbell continues to do to this day at Abuse Hurts.
Teresa, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, you bet.
We appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners do. And there's one area we talked about just before the show, which I found, and we talked about how golf is a passion of mine. You did the last, you did the last interview with Harvey Penick.
I did.
And some of our listeners may know who Harvey Penick was. He's the guy, he's the golfer, the old, he's a sage. He's the teacher that a whole bunch of golfers used to go worship. And one of them was Ben Crenshaw. Mm-hmm. And you interviewed Harvey Penick just before he passed away. And then after he passed away, I think it was 2 weeks later, Ben Crenshaw won the Masters. Mm-hmm. And that was the one where he falls to his knees and starts crying.
Well, everybody thought Ben's career was over. His winning days were over, right?
But you interviewed, you had the last interview with, when you told me that, I just got shivers because it, you know, golf means so much to me. Yeah. Tell me about that interview.
Harvey Penick, you're right. He was a sage. He was a teacher. He was down in Austin, Texas. He wrote the Little Red Book. And the Little Red Book didn't just have golf in it. It had life in it. So they sent me down to Austin to talk to him. So I was using a U.S. crew. So I came in the day before and I thought, he's an elderly gentleman. I should swing by the house and just introduce myself so he could see me. So the door swings over and this lovely Southern belle is standing there, and it's Mrs. Penick. He goes, well, hello there. So I said, explained who I was, and she goes, well, Harvey's in the living room right now and he's giving a golf lesson to the cable man. We got a little bit of trouble with our TV, and so he's given a golf lesson. And that's what Harvey did. He would give a lesson to anybody. Now, this is the golf teacher of Tom Kite, of Ben Crenshaw, Sandra Palmer, Betsy Rawls. I mean, the who's who of golf down in that area. And he's helping the cable guy. So I go, I meet Harvey. The next day we pick him up. We're driving to, he lived on the golf course. We're in the golf carts. And he gave me a lesson. He gave me my golf grip, to which I use to this day. And no one's ever changing that grip. There's been a few teachers that have tried. Oh, no, 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 no. This is Harvey Penick's grip. So anyway, I did that interview. My goodness, doesn't he start to falter right after?
Oh, wow.
3 weeks, he's in the hospital. Ben goes for his final golf lesson just before the Masters. And in Harvey's hospital room, his last breath, he's talking to Ben.
Wow.
Ben went out and won, like you said, fell to his knees. I got goosebumps thinking about it because I was at home watching it. And do you know that CBS used my story?
Wow.
And that was huge.
Absolutely.
So the Little Red Book became and he had a little green book, a little yellow book. And, you know, he was such a true gentleman and a memory that's deep in my heart.
Teresa, unfortunately, we only have 2.5 minutes left, which is, you know, I feel like we've just started. So I guess we're going to have to promise each other that you're going to have to come back at some point in time because we've just scratched the surface. Naz, I don't know if, do we want to talk about wrestling at all?
No, we'll talk about the Raptors. Okay. I'm curious. You started with the Raptors, right? When they started in their infancy. And what a success story Toronto Raptors were.
They sure have been. And when they finally won, that was something else. And I was going, you know, how old am I? I'm sitting there, oh, I remember when they were born. I was on the streets of New York and we were doing the stories and Toronto had been awarded a franchise. That's my old lady's voice. But geez, when I think about what I saw, those interviews that I was privy to, the early years of those teams, seeing the big players come into town. Shaquille O'Neal used to have to sit down for us to talk to him. Because he was just too tall. Do you know who was the nicest? Charles Barkley. I was so scared to talk to him. And I went down to Detroit. I was doing something with the Pistons down there. And Charles came into town. And I remember we had to talk to him. And he was just the nicest guy. Yeah. I didn't have to be scared at all. You know?
Yeah.
Some good Raptors memories and good basketball memories. Yeah.
A minute. You got any good wrestling memories?
Well,
you know what? We left.
You grew up in Calgary.
I did. So that was Stampede Wrestling. Ed Whalen, right?
Yeah.
So I was down there. I don't know why my parents allowed me to go down there when I was 9 years old. And, you know, when I look back, everyone's going, does it seem weird that you were in sports? And I'm going, no. I love sports. From the moment the Flames landed in town, I watched Stampede Wrestling. My dad and I watched football together. Car racing, anything with an engine gives me goosebumps. So, no, it makes sense that I had a start. My career started in sports, a great 14-year run with TSN and memories I'm going to cherish forever.
On that note, we've hit the witching hour. So the producer, Owen, is giving me that look. We have to wrap it up. Teresa, it couldn't be a more fitting day to have you on. We're celebrating women. We're celebrating the achievements of women all around the world this month, and specifically this week. You have been an inspiration to so many people. Your courage and the challenges that you've met along the way, you have to write that book. I would love to write a testimonial for you. I have two daughters. And you've done so much for women in this country in sports broadcasting. You continue to do so much great work in the organizations you support, in your corporate career, in your business. All I can say is you've brought an incredible amount of energy to the studio this morning. I'm going to have a fantastic day because I'm going to carry your energy with me all day and probably the entire week.
We definitely
have to have you back. And I will say thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for everything you've done. And I'll end like I normally end. I always give Naz the last word.
Thanks, Teresa, for a great morning.
Oh, Naz, it's been great to sit beside you.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. To all our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. Have a fantastic week. Be safe, and we'll be back again next Sunday morning.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.